We are the Incredible Critics. Incredible not because we're great, because our credibility should seriously be in question. I'm your host, Frankie Fusco, and you are joining us for another special Star Wars Clone Wars / Star Wars Rebels special episode. This is part three, I think, of a three-part series that we are releasing. I think we should be done after this. Joining me again is my buddy Luke and my other buddy Pete, who is Andrew's big brother from Big Brother's Big Sisters. We'll get that back out there again.
And a regular Sith sympathizer.
We have gone on and talked in length about Star Wars, the Clone Wars, for two episodes now, and we are going to go ahead and move on, I think, right now to the next Star Wars animated series, Rebels, where we have some mixed reviews on, rightfully so, and let's just play the trailer real quick, and we'll get in from there.
In a time of darkness, when fear ruled the galaxy, heroes will rise, destinies will collide.
Who is that king?
And a rebellion will ignite.
Get ready.
Now!
Who are you guys?
We're a team.
What part of blast them did you not understand?
Troopers, focus your fire on the Jedi.
All right, that is the trailer for Star Wars Rebels, originally airing in 2014. In fact, this trailer came out, the official trailer came out on May the 4th, go figure, 2014. And some timeline stuff for you. Star Wars Rebels takes place is it 8 years after? I wanted to just say it was a year after, but that's not true. The Ahsoka books take place a year after the Order 66. I believe this takes place 8 years after Order 66. I'm going to look that up real quick.
Somewhere before Rogue One and after Revenge of the Sith.
It leads up pretty close to Rogue One, I think. They're on leads the up right to the end of it.
Oh, does it? Yeah, see,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will agree that the first two seasons are slapstick garbage.
Probably what I watched, yeah.
Yeah, I started trying to watch the show when it first came out, but in the wildest way, by the end of it, you're like, I like this by the end. Like, there's something good happening here. Once they introduce Thrawn as this, like, cold, calculating, perfect, like, military genius, and it really takes a turn after season two. Really towards like the end of season two, things get a lot different. Season one is like, it looks low budget, like it looks very empty. You don't really care about any of the characters. The missions they're doing is like, oh, spray paint a TIE fighter, and it's like, this isn't Rebels, this is like teenage vandals in space, like
Star Wars vandalism.
Yeah, Star Wars vandalism, and it's like cringy in terms of they're like, I'm gonna chase you around and beat you up, and no one dies.
No, mm-hmm. They don't even kill the stormtroopers. They don't just knock them on the head and knock them out, which is crazy. So I did find out. So it takes place 14 years after Order 66, after the end of the Clone Wars movies, and which makes sense. I don't know, because that's Ezra's 14 years old, and he was born on Star Wars Day, Empire Day, which Empire is the national Day. Holiday when the Empire took over, or the galactic holiday, I should say. So it takes place and in reference 4 years before the Battle of Yavin.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So it's set between 5 BBY and 0 BBY. And leads up right to Rogue One, which is the pretty cool part. Now, it is canon. It is created by Disney. We know Pete doesn't care about canon, but it is for those of us that do care about canon. It is canon, and you can see episode. I'm having a mini stroke.
18.
Rebels. Rebels characters in some of the Star Wars movies. They do talk about her in Rogue One. You see,
Wait, what? Who do they talk about in Rogue One?
They talk about General Ansula, who is the main Twi'lek in Rebels.
Oh, there you go.
They talk about her in Rogue One, and
good for that.
You also see the ship Ghost in the
Rise of Skywalker. I saw that Easter egg. Yeah,
in Rise of Skywalker, yes, but then also you see it in Rogue One at the battle. Yeah, and Chopper, who is the main droid in Rebels, is also in Rogue One in the background.
You mean the best part of Rebels?
He might be the best part. I would never think that a cartoon droid who is pretty much a jerk and like an anti R2-D2 would be one of my favorite characters in a TV show, but he kind of is because everyone else is kind of crappy. Essentially, Rogue One is the story of Ezra, who is a Force-sensitive child who finds his way into a group of rebels who are doing small attacks on the Empire and thinking they're the only rebel force out there, ends up finding out that there is a larger rebel force throughout the galaxy that is building. And it kind of helps you see the start of the rebellion. And that's kind of what his purpose is. It does so in a very family-friendly way, especially for the first two seasons. We do eventually see Ahsoka Tano come back as someone who's helped founded the rebellion with Senator Organa. And that's kind of where we get. And she's in there, and eventually we do lead into, and we'll talk about, she meets up with Darth Vader, and there's an epic battle. And that's kind of where we're at. I know, Pete, you haven't seen many of the episodes.
I have seen that. I saw it on YouTube, the whole thing, the whole Darth Maul scene too, where he's leading Ezra up to the pyramid or whatever and betrays him. And that's really cool. I like that. I like Darth Maul in Rebels. He's pretty cool.
He does. He comes back. He's a very interesting character. So what happens is you have Darth Maul Ezra and his Jedi trainer Kenan, who's actually in Clone Wars as a Padawan. Kenan
Thompson.
Yeah. Freddie Prinze Jr., to refer to him as, because that's the actor who does his voice. Okay. But he's actually in Clone Wars in one of the episodes as a Padawan, and you see him training it. So pretty much he escaped Order 66.
I didn't realize he died. Saw him in Clone Wars.
Yeah, there's a small spot with it where he's in it in one of the last seasons. So in season 7 actually. So anyway, he meets Kenan, who's pretty much a Jedi, but giving up the Jedi ways. And Kenan decides to train him because he's Force sensitive, yada yada yada. They end up going to the Sith Temple, and in the Sith Temple, they come across who else but Darth Maul, who has been kind of stuck there, and he takes a liking to Ezra and wants to kind of train Ezra as his apprentice, and shenanigans ensue. But there is an awesome
epic battle.
Yeah, finally,
that's pretty cool.
Finally, you get to see Ahsoka and Anakin fight, and she had no idea that in her mind, she thought Anakin died because she could no longer.
Didn't she have an idea? Didn't she have like a projection on the ship or something? Vision.
Yeah, she saw visions when the first time they run into each other. She senses it, and she kind of shakes it off, and she kind of has like a panic attack and passes out, but she doesn't know what it is. It isn't until they meet there when they fight that she realizes who he is. And
just before that, she's in the Jedi temple on the Ezra's home world there that they're constantly trying to free, and she kind of has this vision and then keeps denying it, and then it is a kind of back and forth of her getting a lot of these hints and not quite accepting it until she really goes and encounters him there.
And again, we get another awesome lightsaber battle. Not as cool as the previous one we talked about last week with her and Darth Maul, but still a really good battle and some good tying up. And it ends in, of course, the most epic Star Wars way, where you don't know what happens because Ezra, who is the main character who you're following, gets pushed into the ship and shoots away. And then all you see at the end of the episode is the temple collapsing and Darth Vader with a broken mask walking out of the temple. But then in the background, you see Ahsoka walking back into the temple, but way in the background. You don't really know what it is. You can't really even say that it's her. You're not sure. So everyone's like, what does that mean? Is she a ghost? What's the deal? And we don't find that out until 4 years later when they do episodes season 7 of
Clone Wars.
I'm sorry. 2 years later.
It was the last season of Rebels that they really explained that.
I probably got all my time. So the last season of Rebels, so you have to wait a whole other 2 seasons for her to come back.
Yeah. So that's what was interesting about Rebels is that, unlike Clone Wars, which the whole series progressively got better, and by the end of it, you just loved every episode. Rebels, okay, the whole series progressively got slightly better, but in every season, really, there's pockets of this really cool stuff and really interesting events. But then there's pockets of, now we're fighting spiders. And it's like, okay, go fight spiders. I don't know. That also don't really kill people. They just hug them and latch onto a wall in a cave. The lengths that they go through to avoid violence is nonsense. But there's these pockets of really cool force stuff spread throughout the four seasons of Rebels. Like Frankie said, I really enjoyed, and Pete said, I really enjoyed Maul's character. It was different. It wasn't this big bad like it had been in the Clone Wars. He was kind of outcast, kind of sad, a little older. He kind of reminded you, he was a parallel almost to Obi-Wan, because he's always been a parallel to Obi-Wan. And he was still hunting for him. He was still this old, cast out, sad person that was still hunting for Obi-Wan. Whereas Obi-Wan had clearly kind of moved past it all. He wasn't really focusing on Maul anymore. And
like ex-girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, it was like an ex-girlfriend where Obi-Wan's like, what? I live in this desert planet
now,
man.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Man.
I'm chill.
Maul's always been obsessed with Obi-Wan. In fact, even going into season 7 of Clone Wars, he is confused when Ahsoka shows up because he's expecting Obi-Wan to show up. That's the whole reason why he did everything and took over Mandalore. He thought that Obi-Wan would show up.
Well, he's actually voicing the viewers, actually.
I mean, we can't speak. We've never been cut in half by a guy before.
That's true. Yeah, I'm sure.
I guess that sticks with you a little bit, even if you get your robot legs. So, I think the biggest contribution by Rebels is these tiny force aspects. In the weirdest way, it expands the force and more than anything else that's currently canon. Because you have this gray Jedi being on a planet that looks like a big piece of coral, and they don't really explain him very well. I've tried to think about if he was, I think he's a nod to these creatures in old expanded universe that trained Han and Leia's Sith son, but not quite. I don't know. They could like kind of time travel a little bit. And then the Clone Wars does, of course, introduce time travel at the end, which is, I'm sorry, not Clone Wars, the Rebels does, and which is insane because nothing else in Star Wars has ever introduced time travel, and it gives them an open book to reboot.
Yikes.
Yeah. It does. Listen, I understand.
Frankie's like, throw Ahsoka Tano at Luke and Dagobah. he didn't lift the Y. We actually, Ahsoka lifted it.
What if we replaced everybody with Ahsoka?
Let's replace it with Ahsoka. Ahsoka
trains Ahsoka.
Ahsoka built the Death Star, guys. Ahsoka built a Death Star. She did everything.
Listen, I don't disagree. I don't like.
She's Rey's mother. Guys, you don't understand.
But and I understand your hesitation that when you hear about time travel in Star Wars, but they do a really good job with it.
That's like
they do a really good job with it. Not like Back to the Future.
I don't like it.
I hate it.
I don't like it. Watch it, and I think you do. You need to go watch Rebels. You have to force, yourself through it. Like
it ties back to Mortis. It does tie back to Mortis and the father, the son. And
okay, all right. It's like you're telling me to jump off a cliff. You're telling me there's a mattress down below. It's great.
It's actually the best experience.
Here's the thing. You're looking at two people who jumped off the cliff before you and survived.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly, you think I have some brain damage from my jump, but
yeah, you both do. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Listen, but we survived, and who knows? Maybe you'll come to our side at the end of it. Ahsoka doesn't play a huge role in Rebels, so I doubt your opinion on if she should replace.
It's like high school all over again. You guys are trying to like get me to do drugs or something.
I feel like time travel, if done in moderation, and
it's great. It doesn't make a huge part, but it explains how Ahsoka comes back to life. how they, so pretty much in,
wait,
in this
what
time,
who dies and comes back to life?
Ahsoka.
So Ahsoka's Jesus now. Okay,
yes.
Cool.
I mean,
all right. We're taking it all the way.
You said it.
Andrew's gonna, I know Andrew's gonna laugh when he hears that.
Is she the savior of Star Wars? She might be. She could be the savior of the franchise.
Could be. Who knows? Comes in the Mandalorian, reboots everything.
But they no. So essentially, Ezra gets stuck in this in between time spot, and Sidious is trying to get to him, and he realizes he's watching almost like a video of what happened in the dark in the temple, and sees her fight with Darth Vader. And then
is that the right black area with the white, like,
It looks like timeline.
Oh, and that's what that is. Okay.
Okay, because cool. He can travel through these timelines,
right?
And he sees these portals.
These portals.
Is this Ezra?
Yeah, Ezra. Okay. He's not like he can do it. He's not.
Didn't
like
Ezra suck Ahsoka Tano into that? Like,
yes. So that's what happened. So he pretty much sees the battle between her and Darth Vader, the part that he didn't see after he was pushed away and they flew away.
Right.
And he sees after the battle for a little bit, he sees Darth Vader doing a death blow on Ahsoka, and he just instinctively goes, "Ahsoka, no!" and grabs her and pulls her.
So what happens? Did Darth Vader kill her?
No.
Or so Darth Vader go what?
Darth Vader goes, what? And then all of a sudden the temple starts collapsing, and he gets out of there. And then she's in this alternate time with him, and then they kind of get out of the timeline thing together after Sidious tries getting in there.
Oh, I know. He's 14. Sorry. Whoops.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's only 14.
I think he's like 16.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
point,
that's right. He's 16 or, 16.
I forgot what I said. Sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's how Ahsoka comes to you, and that's the whole timeline episode, which is pretty sweet. It's
significant just because that's never.
Can I just watch season 3 onward?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just skip all the graffiti crap?
You can watch the finale arc of season 2.
Yeah, watch the final arc of season 2 where you have Ahsoka going and the battle.
It's the Sith Temple whole thing.
Yeah, I want to get a little taste of Thrawn. I want to get a little taste of Maul. I guess I want some Maul. I want
some Obi-Wan. Probably the other great part about Rebels is Thrawn. His character, his storyline, which is probably one of the most well-known, I would think, characters from the expanded universe that wasn't in the movies.
Well, throw in some big terms here about well-known expanded universe characters here, Frankie.
That's true. There's not too many of those, but I feel like I knew him.
There's so many of those, Frankie.
Listen, there's not, because I'm not a huge expanded universe person.
There's thousands of them.
Besides the video games, but I felt like I knew him when I saw him come on screen. I was like, oh, the blue guy. I know that blue guy.
The blue guy.
Yeah, the blue guy.
Because before him, you really only see Blue Tweely, because you're like, who's this blue dude? But then I saw him, and I was like, oh, I know him from somewhere. So
I knew him from a YouTube channel called Star Wars Theory or whatever.
Okay.
And his profile photo for a while on YouTube was Thrawn. And I was like, who's that blue dude? Oh, man, he looks super cool.
It's an awesome. His story is awesome. He's just like a military genius in Rebels, and he pretty much runs the Empire's army, and he's just amazing. And you kind of see him play chess with the Rebels, and they probably would have beat him, or he probably would have beat the Rebels if it wasn't for
Plot
the ultimate
armor.
Yeah. wasn't for Ezra, which I hate to say, but like
plot armor, okay,
his plan.
For a second, I thought Thrawn was in the end of Revenge of the Sith, but then I remember that was Tarkin. Never mind. Tarkin's in Revenge of the Sith for like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue. Sorry.
No. So Thrawn's another great part about Rebels. I'm trying to think of what else it really is to say about Rebels. I don't...
Animation sucks.
It does.
It looks like so bad compared to
the animation's
Rebels.
Not great. It's a weird CG animation, which I'm not a huge fan of.
The lightsaber look like straws.
That's very true. I don't know why they did that. The lightsabers, it made everything real scary.
The aesthetic is just really off.
Even when they show like Yoda and Anakin in it, it doesn't match the Clone Wars, which is confusing.
Right, which is super annoying. When they show even Ahsoka, like I hate the way Ahsoka is animated. I as the Ahsoka expert on this panel,
especially after watching season 7, which is masterfully animated.
Oh my god, the animation! I'm like, can we just like, would Rebels be better if you just reanimated it, rewrote it.
Maybe, sorry,
put more Ahsoka in it. I mean, that was anyway.
Yeah. Oh boy, made it the Ahsoka show.
Yeah,
if you turn off your background right now, am I gonna see like 7 Ahsoka Tano posters like on your wall?
My background right now, which we didn't even talk about when we talked about Clone Wars, the 332nd Battalion, which is the battalion that's given to Ahsoka by Anakin. to help orange helmets, the Battle of Mandalore, and they have they paint their helmets with Ahsoka's face outline. And it's like their way of saying, you know, you're still our commander, even though you're not our Jedi, because they built such a strong bond with her, which makes it like when Order 66 comes and you see Rex try to fight her and him fighting it, like it's, oh my God, the T-Rex.
That's that insane that he fought it for like 5 seconds.
He fought it and got off to her what she had to do to see.
And then the music.
Oh my God.
And the fact that she casts all of those, like they surround her and she bounces all of the bolts up to tear a hole in the ceiling.
She doesn't kill a single person, I don't think.
So cool.
Amazing.
So cool.
She still doesn't want to kill any of them. And Yoda's like, watch me decapitate them.
Yoda's just like, I kill.
Yo, Obi-Wan, want to go back to Coruscant and slaughter thousands of clone troopers?
Yeah. That's right. He did just massacre these guys.
He's like stabbing him in the chest. Oh, like,
throws it at someone.
Yeah, no mercy.
Jumps off his chest.
Oh my goodness. Clone Wars is, as you can tell, Clone Wars is so good. Incredible. Rebels is
back to Rebels.
But you need to watch Rebels.
Rebels is important. I think that's the thing about it. It's not necessarily good.
Unfortunately, important.
We'll start to wrap it up with this, but here's why. So Rebels really leads you up right to Rogue One, but there's a lot of things in Rebels that I think are coming into play in The Mandalorian, including one of the characters, Sabine Wren, who has the Darksaber at the end of Rebels.
She doesn't.
She gives it to...
She gives it to the new... the Chancellor from the Clone Wars is...
The one who Obi-Wan's sister. Love interest.
Yeah, the Death Watch sister.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the sister of the love interest of Obi-Wan. Sistine was the woman that Obi-Wan loved. Yeah,
Sistine's sister. She hands her the Darksaber, who takes and leads Mandalore in Rebels.
So how did his face, whatever his name is in Mandalorian, get?
Grand Admiral Gillian. That's where a lot of people also. Yeah, we don't know.
Mandalore ends with that, but also the key thing is, I think she's going to play a role because just a little coincidence that she's a Mandalorian and there's a show called Mandalore. I just feel like she's going to be in there some way or another. But then also at the end of Rebels, so again, huge spoiler alert if you haven't seen Rebels and you want to go watch it and don't want to.
I haven't seen Rebels and I want to watch it.
You're good. We can tell you this because you're sucked into this conversation.
Sure, yep.
But the way Rebels ends is with we won't give everything away, but Rebels ends with a prologue. So it's pretty much what's happened after the Battle of Yavin.
Great storytelling.
Yeah. It's great. And so it picks up after the Battle of Yavin, and it's Sabine kind of giving an overall...
Battle of Endor. Sorry, Frankie.
I'm sorry, did I say Battle of Yavin? Battle of Endor, you're right. Yeah, the Battle of Endor. So after all of Star Wars... After your original, masterpiece.
Oh wow, they just jump right ahead.
They jump after the battle of Endor.
The second Death Star.
Yeah. Hops forward and kind of gives you updates on all the characters, and we won't get into some, one of which I can't wait for you to find out about because you're gonna flip. But so you're getting angry, and I don't think I understand why, because it made me a little angry, but it's gonna make you more angry.
I'm
not gonna do it.
I'm not gonna watch it.
No, you're gonna watch it. You're gonna have to watch it. Dude, it's good. So anyway, it also comes back. Ahsoka comes back. I knew everything comes back to Ahsoka. Ahsoka comes back and goes, I need to. So Ezra essentially kills himself. He sends his ship into hyperspace with Thrawn to end the battle with Thrawn. And
Thrawn?
He does. Well, him and Thrawn are in hyper.
It's a big question mark. They shoot off into infinity
outside of the known world.
Out to the expanded world, like the unknown.
The expanded universe.
Yeah.
Yup.
They go out into the uncharted universe, which is like no one knows where it is or how it goes or how you get
outside
out there.
Of Disney World.
Yeah, outside of Disney World. And so, but the ship's broken down, so it's not, and it's just the two of them, and like there's like holes in the hull, like there's not, like there's no air pressure, so you think they're gonna die, and he shoots the ship into hyperspace to kill both him and Thrawn. Ahsoka comes back and in the prologue and gets Sabine, and she realizes that. She basically says, Ezra's still alive. We're going to go find them. And that's how it kind of ends.
Okay. I'm cool with it.
This spin off of something that's going to happen with Ahsoka and with Sabine, and whether it be a comic or a TV show or Into the Mandalorian, or it talks about an Ahsoka live action series, is what, you know, what they've been hinting at too with what's the actress's name?
Yeah, with Rosario Dawson.
Dawson.
Yeah, so,
it's a lot of opportunities.
How old is she going to be?
So 80? in the Mandalore, she'll be 45.
In the Mandalorian?
In the Mandalorian, yeah.
Oh, so she's still young.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so and that's the great part about it, because the Mandalorian takes place 5 years after the Battle of Endor, right?
Sure. Five or six years after the Battle of Endor, yeah.
So
talk about Baby Yoda years now.
Yeah, Baby Yoda years.
It's BYY. Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, it all kind of ties neatly into this huge storyline that has all these smaller, awesome stories. And Rebels does a really good job of that. Like I said, I think you should just pick up from the end of season two and then watch. And it's not like season three or four are long. Season four is like 12 episodes. And season three, I think, is...
Season three is like 24, but then I think four is like 16. It's like
yeah, four
bad.
Is... No, it's only like
24 episodes?
No, season...
And they're half an hour episodes?
Or whatever.
It's like 22 minute episodes, with commercials.
So
And they're one of those things you can put on in the background while you're like doing dishes or something like that. A lot of them don't matter.
Throwing my dishes against the wall
while I'm watching this crap. Now there's some good stuff. Like I said, it's important. It's not necessarily the best animation, it's not the best writing, but there's important things.
It's not the best, but may I take it a step further? Is it even good?
Right. No, it is good.
It's ultimately good. Yes.
Ultimately good. Okay.
Season four is 16 episodes. Season three is 22 episodes.
See?
Tell you what, I will suffer and I will watch season three and four. How many? What's the last season?
Four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that. Okay.
I have one thing to say that I...
Listen, you know what it is? Even if you hate it, you know what you won't hate it more than? You will not hate it more than The Last Jedi.
It's true. That's the most upsetting.
It's impossible. Thing. And you're going to sit through that again.
I we're going to have to do like a whole episode for me to like vent about. It'll be like a therapy session for me.
We can do that. We can get some people on there that actually like The Last Jedi, like Ben on
Yikes.
The podcast.
And, well, oh, there's Ben's, more of you people?
Ben's opinion doesn't count because he's not even a huge Star Wars fan. He just kind of likes that The Last Jedi is different, which is the reason why most people...
Well, that's who The Last Jedi resonates with.
Yeah, that's really literally the Star only Wars. Thing I can say about The Last Jedi that I like. I'm like, it's different.
It's very different. And I could see what Ryan Johnson was trying to do.
He should have had a whole trilogy to do it. That's the thing.
Tim's a big Star Wars fan. We get him too because Tim is a huge Star Wars fan and also likes The Last Jedi.
Yikes.
Which is strange to me.
It's the only one I haven't fought Frankie over trying to claim it was actually good. I was just like, yeah, I give it to you. It's not.
What's worse, Rise of Skywalker or Last Jedi?
Oh, hands down, Rise of Skywalker.
Same. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of redeeming qualities. A lot goes on, but I like a lot of things about it.
I don't think it was possible to make a movie worse than The Last Jedi, but they somehow did it, so props.
Wait,
you think Rise of Skywalker is worse than The Last Jedi?
Yeah, Rise of Skywalker is worse than The Last Jedi.
No. I like disagree. Rise of Skywalker way more.
I'll debate with you on that.
Rise of Skywalker
is like a sitcom chopped up. Like, it just makes no sense. You don't know. It's like
cocaine. Well, that's because it had horrible foundation. But
Lando did have horrible foundation.
Yeah. But that's not why it was bad. It was bad on its own merit. Trust me.
We can talk all about that extensively after. We'll get into that.
I liked it on my first watch, but my second watch, I realized what I was watching.
Listen, none of them I would watch more than two or three times. So.
Well, I've watched The Force Awakens a good number of times.
I've seen that a good number of times, yes.
Rise of Skywalker probably four times, and I've watched...
We'll get into this later. Yeah. We're going to talk about this whole thing.
Anyway, so before we end, because we're going a little bit over, is there anything else you want to say, and either of you want to say about Rebels?
Luke, you go first.
Yeah. About Rebels...
We didn't even talk about the Bad Batch on Clone Wars.
It's okay. I'm not a big fan of the Bad Batch.
They're making their own show.
I don't care less.
I was not surprised when they got their own show because they're like, here comes the Bad Batch.
It's so cringe.
Who are those guys?
It's so cringe. It's kind of cringe. Like,
It's like,
anyway, back to Rebels. Back to Rebels. Anything else you want to say about Rebels?
Last words on Rebels is it's hard to get through some of the earlier things. It's a little slapsticky. It's made for kids, but they wildly introduce important things that they don't even touch upon in other series that now seem like they're going to be important for things like The Mandalorian and have other effects, such as the continuation of Ahsoka's story, introduction of really the only kind of gray Jedi. I mean, other Force wielders, you have the Night Sisters, but they're just evil. This gray Force user guy is actually not evil and just different and powerful. And then they introduce time travel and more Mortis stuff, which is important because of the mother. And so it's worth watching. It's good enough. Ultimately, it's good. It's good. By the time you get to the end of it, you're like, you know what? That was actually good. It's hard to get through some episodes. There's some cringy things. Chopper is phenomenal. And I would definitely say watch Rebels.
I'll go ahead and say too, it's a great series for anybody who has kids and wants to get their kids into Star Wars. Much like a lot of people I know who got their kids in Star Wars via the Lego movies and Lego video games. Rebels is definitely kid oriented, and it's a little bit, there are some things I would not watch with a small child, 5, 6, 7 in Clone Wars that are just kind of creepy and scary. Whereas in Rebels, I feel like you can get through the whole entire show and it's not too inappropriate for children, ages 7 or so. So, and that's my parenting advice, which isn't great, but I mean, that's just kind of my theory on it. It's definitely more family-friendly show. Yeah.
Do you think they did that on purpose? They're like, we need to like get the next generation ready for Star Wars.
100%. It's all about clones. Yeah. It's all about brainwashing the kids.
It's all about toys.
Obviously.
Yeah. It was also because Disney took over and Disney was trying to make everything. Disney makes everything family-friendly. Anything you want to add on, Pete?
You got another half an hour? No, I'm just kidding. Rebels? Yeah, Rebels oriented. I do have a few things to say about Rebels real quick. The animation style change is comparable to, like, I don't know if you guys, I grew up on SpongeBob, like the old classic SpongeBob animation style, and they'd like rounded them out and they made it like really, it's like, that's exactly what it felt like. But they did it, Rebels did it way worse. Animation aside, let's put that aside. Let's say I love it. Like you said, it's very kiddy. I'm a little too old for it. I was introduced to Star Wars through Revenge of the Sith. So I never had it easy, okay? And neither should these stupid kids, all right? They should see a bunch of children getting killed. They should see a bunch of people getting gunned down, betrayal, crying, tears, choking. Anyways, Rebels has beautiful moments. The Obi-Wan, Darth Maul fight. I mean, I watched a whole separate video explaining why that was so important. Like that move he does, that Darth Maul does to block Obi-Wan or parry him in the face is exactly the same move that he performed on Qui-Gon to kill him. So if you watch it slowly, he takes his double-sided lightsaber and he smacks Qui-Gon in the face, does a spin move, and stabs him in the stomach or chest. He tries to do that with Obi-Wan, but Obi-Wan knows better. He's smart. He knows what moves Darth Maul is trying to do. And then instead of taking that to the face, he does an upward stroke or downward stroke and slices through Darth Maul's handlebars and right through his Darth Maul's chest. It's a really, and that's like, you know, three moves the whole fight, right? Boom, boom, boom.
It's really good.
It's really good because it also has depth. That's exactly how he killed Qui-Gon. That's the exact move he tried on Obi-Wan right off the bat. And Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan watched him kill his master.
Exactly.
We didn't talk about that whole battle scene, but yeah, it is a great end to a great character in Darth Maul. I mean, Darth Maul throughout Clone Wars and Rebels is an awesome character to watch and learn about. And it's an awesome ending. It really is.
When Darth Maul goes, he is the chosen one. And he goes, yes, he is. He will avenge us. Oh, so good. Mm-hmm. When he said he will avenge us, dude, I got like goosebumps, a little teary eyed. I was like, it's so beautiful. It just shows you the pain that Darth Maul's been through. And it's really good. Okay. That's my comments on Rebels and Ahsoka Tano sucks. No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
I will say, listen, if you want to go even further, there's an Ahsoka Tano book and the audiobook you can listen to online.
Have a good night.
It is
just kidding.
It's awesome. It's really good. It takes place right after the battle, the Order 66, mm-hmm. and picks up from there. Picks up in the Battle of Mandalore and then goes on from there. Guys, it's been awesome talking to you for the last couple of weeks about Star Wars.
Right, we've been talking for weeks, yeah.
Weeks.
It seemed like just hours. It was weeks, and it was awesome, guys. I really enjoyed this. I'm glad we got to talk about it. I hope we convinced at least one person to go watch the Clone Wars and even Rebels. I hope we convinced you to watch the end of Rebels. I think if you are a Star Wars fan, you really need to, even just a minor Star Wars fan, you should go watch these shows. They are awesome. Clone Wars really is one of the best things that Star Wars has ever made. That series is phenomenal. And that's one thing we all agree on. Might like different parts of it, but we all agree that it is just a phenomenal series, especially the second half of that series.
Clone Wars 9 out of 10, Rebels 6 out of 10.
There we go.
Fight me.
And that's accurate. I'm not going to argue.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Rebels has nuggets of good things and important things.
Rebels has nuggets of gold.
Just not, you know, really they're does. Not big nuggets yeah. and they're not.
That's just
know,
in a field of poop.
It's in a
field. Yeah. Like guys, you have that Darth Maul scene and then you have, now we steal a TIE fighter. It's like.
The Star Wars fans, that's what we're used to. That's what we're used to.
I'm in the Rebel. Yeah. I'm in the TIE Fighter Academy now.
I'm in the TIE Fighter Academy. They all know where I came from.
The Stormtrooper. Oh, no, the Stormtrooper Academy, where he's training, yeah. where all of a sudden it's super hard to become a Stormtrooper.
They have really high standards Stormtrooper for Stormtroopers all of a sudden.
And then you can't, yeah, they can't shoot anything.
But we're used to the Star Wars fans. We go from.
That's true.
Yeah, we go from breaking my heart to the best lightsaber duel in history. Or so, you know.
Yeah. Guys, you can find us on Instagram at instagram.com/incrediblecritics. Thanks for listening. Go on Facebook. Let us know what you think. Comment on these videos. Let us know if you watched it, what you thought, if you think I'm crazy about Ahsoka, or if you think I'm right and we should redo all of episode 4, 5, and 6. And we just reboot it. Reboot it, baby.
Stop, dude. Let's get weird. I'm up for it. I back Frankie.
Let's get weird. There's a difference between weird and sacrilegious. That's what I'm saying.
That's true.
But okay.
No, let us know what you think about Clone Wars and Rebels and which one you like better and what your favorite story arcs were in these shows. Facebook.com/incrediblecritics. Go on iTunes, hit subscribe, leave us some comments, and help us get out there to more and more people. Until next time, until the great Star Wars debate, I think, is going to be the next big special episode. We are the Incredible Critics.
You will find me pulling out my hair watching The Last Jedi.